myself keep walking on. Hear something up ahead, water falling like a song. An everlasting stream, your river carries me home. Let it flow, let it flow.
Morning. Morning. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Just good. We've had 60-degree weather yesterday. You have to be better than that. Isn't that weird? We had 60-degree weather this week, and then it's been a weird year for weather, but nothing we can do about it. We can complain about it, but it doesn't do any good, right? Welcome to Haven Community Church. We're glad that you're here. We're here to worship God and connect to Him, and so we just hope that you're all ready to do that. Is everybody ready to do that today?
Yeah.
All right, so good. So let's. I'm going to ask that you stand. We're just going to open with a prayer today. Lord God, we come to you today, and we come from many different places, and not only just like from our homes and things, but God, we're just talking about we come from many different places in our own lives, places that we feel close to you, places that we feel further from you, places that we're just not sure where we are. But God, you brought us all here for this moment today, and you have something planned out for us and for our just for your Holy Spirit to connect to us. So God, I just pray that we set aside everything else that hinders us and keeps us from you, and just focus our eyes on what you would have us to see, and our ears on what you'd have us to hear, and our hearts on how much you love us. So the remainder of this time together, God, let us just be free. Free to worship you, free to receive what you have for us. And ultimately, God, for those areas that have kept us bound and kept us away from you, free from them through the power of the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.
Technology. Of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we've come gathered together to lift up your name, to fall on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we've come gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your the world will see that. Sing it up. Our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, up your name, call on our Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see. bow down as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that.
What's that?
Yes, the world will see that. Our God saves. Our God saves.
You guys get a little crazy. Are we free? Are we free in God today? You guys ready to lift up praise? Put your hands together.
Come on, let's just say it together. Let's clap. Come on.
Blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will praise, through you the darkness flee, through you my heart screams, I am free.
Alright, you guys will sing along. Get me.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free to dance.
Yes, I am free. one. Through you I'm not afraid. Through you the price is paid. Through you there's victory. Through you my soul sings, I am free. Yes, I am free.
You awake now? All right. Lord God, we just thank you for bringing us here today. And we just give you so much praise because we are free. Because of the price that Christ paid upon the cross, we are free. Let's say we are free. We are free. And when the sun sets you free, you are what? Free indeed. And so, God, we just thank you that we can worship here today as free children of the King. So the rest of the service, Lord, is committed to you. We pray for our Sunday school, our Shoreline Sunday School ministry, as they connect closer to you, that we will focus and connect closer to you as well. In Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. As our children are leaving for Shoreline ministry, everybody else greet one another.
Is that all the progress? All right. Good morning. Everybody doing well? Hope you're doing well. Glad to have everybody here today. Welcome, visitors. If you're here today, I hope that you receive, and it's your first time or you've been here before and weren't able to fill out a card, please go ahead and do so so we can connect with you. And also, we have a small gift. Thank you for being part of the worship here today. So if you'd like to fill that out. Also, I know it's kind of crazy to say this with the weather like it is now, but just in case we have to cancel because of inclement weather or anything else, it's a good avenue that we can get in touch with you through email, text, voice, whatever you give to us. So if you go ahead and do that, and if you take it to the back here, we'll have a small gift for you. If you're watching online for the first time, welcome to a church online. We are glad that you are part of our worship here today as well. Today after church, our Haven 101 class, which has been technically our entry-level membership class, but mostly it is a means to find out what Haven's about, why we exist, and what our mission and goals are. And in doing so, the main focus there, we're not going to lock you in. If you come in, it's not like Hotel California. You can check in, but you don't check out, or like a Roach Motel, I guess you would say. But what we want to do is just make sure that we let you know exactly where our church stands for and where we're headed and what we believe. And if you want to connect and be part of this membership, it's a great opportunity to do so. We are beginning week two of our series, 1 Month to Live. And how many of you are participating so far? Anybody? What are you thinking? Good stuff? Good stuff? Okay. And so we'll continue the message today. Today we're going to talk about how to live passionately. And so we'll have a great time with that as well today. You can see that this week is our emergency rotating shelter. And Joanne, if in a little while we're going to go ahead and we'll lift up people in prayer for that during the prayer time. But you can see where the youth are serving there. Next Sunday, we are having a VBS meeting And it'll be very brief because my wife's in charge of it, and it will be very brief, and she hates meetings. So just letting you know. You can see the other opportunities here. And again, our rotating shelter this week. And today is the Parish Foundation. I believe we're all covered there as well. Yes? Okay, where do you want to meet with it? Okay, over here in the lounge area, if you want to go ahead and meet, they're going to have a brief meeting for a rotating shelter, people involved with rotating shelter, and we're going to do that, and we're going to pray for everyone in a bit as we have that. You might see a little bit of the flicker that's going on. There's some ghosts in the machine or some demons trying to keep us from worship, but if it just blinks, and it's not like you are getting closer to death as we're doing 1 month to live, but it may be a good way to do that. But they're working on it, and we may have like a little bit of glitch, and they may just cut them out, and that doesn't mean you can go to sleep, because I will see you. I see all things. And so we want to go ahead and just let you know that, and so everybody doesn't keep turning back. You know, two things, when you're running lights and you're running video, video and sound, nobody ever looks to them like, yeah, good job, but when something goes squeal or something goes wrong, everybody goes, what's wrong with those people back there? So they do a great job, but I just wanted to go ahead and fill you in on some of the glitches that we're having in the system. So we have all those. We do have some prayers. Emily Hewitt has asked for prayers for Bonnie Snyder, who has congestive heart failure. And I can't see that first name. Is it Jet Kelly? A 2-year-old who is having surgery to release his intestines from birth defects. So we're going to lift them in prayers. Many of you who are on the prayer chain received a thing about Austin Ross. Austin is home, but we want to continue to lift him and Dale and Patty and the family up in your prayers as he works through the healing process. Okay? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Before we go to the Lord fully in prayer, I want to go ahead and bring you want to bring them up, or you just want people to stand? Okay, if you are helping with the rotating shelter, I'd like you to just stand where you are this week, those who are helping with the rotating shelter or have contributed any food or any products, anything like that, please go ahead and stand, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray for everybody who is involved with this. Lord God, right now I just want to thank you for everybody who here is standing. I want to particularly thank you for Joanne and Debbie and their leadership in this every week, every year. Not every week, they would be really exhausted then, but every year they take this time. And God, you have used this church very early to minister to the needs of the least of these. And God, we know that there are so many who are hurting in this world, and we're going to come in contact with many of them, but I thank you that we are able to have loving people here in our church and people who are connected to go ahead and take a step of faith and say, I'm going to take time out of my schedule to go ahead and help in with making food, with being there, with distributing, with all kinds of other avenues. And so, God, I thank you for answering your call to serve the least of these. And you said, for when we do to the least of these, we also do to you. And so, God, as this is an act of the body of Christ for Christ, we just give you praise. We ask that you strengthen us. You give us patience. You give us your guidance and your words. And your spirit to those who so need to know you even more, to help their lives get totally in focus and to serve you. We've had the ability to see people whose lives have been totally changed and to go on and to just really change their lives and be free from all kinds of drugs and just to go ahead and live productive and healthy lives, all because of the ministry of the rotating shelter. I thank you for Five Rivers that's opening their doors to allow us to serve there. And so, God, throughout this week, we just claim that Satan will have no stronghold on us, but that you will be glorified, and many will come to know you through the love and care of the people that are serving and through your Holy Spirit. And for that and all things, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. You guys may be seated. Let's continue on with prayer now. Lord God, during this time, we move to the time of our offering. And at this time, God, I just want to thank you for the gifts that have already come in to this church already this year and over the years that have made ministry possible, that have made things like Rotating Shelter and Parish Foundation, Monarch House, and all these other kinds of things, that we've been able to do these different things all because of the love and care of your children for others. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that continued blessing. We have so many things in our world to be thankful for. Yet we also know that there's those who have had dealing with things like congestive heart failure, and those who are looking at the beginning of life, dealing with things that dealing with surgeries and things that we're shocked that they have to deal with at this point. Whoever it is that's in need, or that has been in the hospital and is now out, for those who have suffered loss, I also want to pray for the Vespucci family and Lisa and the loss of her father. And God, just be there with her during this time and the entire family. And so God, as we move further in this service to you, this is an act of worship. This is an act where we get to say, God, I want to thank you for the many blessings that I have. I want to thank you for taking care of my children and sending your watchful eye over them so that they don't get, so that they don't stray or they don't get hurt or whatever it may be that our prayer is for them. But God, ultimately, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us, and whether we are giving here or whether we give through church online, the word says that you love a cheerful giver, and God, let's give out a cheerful heart in service to you. For all these other things, we give you praise for who you are, God, and who you are becoming in our lives and who we are becoming in you. Empty us out during this time and fill us with your spirit, for we love you. Let us not just look at life as a chore that we have to go through, but a tremendous gift from you, that we take time and we go ahead and just enjoy the ride, or more importantly, we enjoy the dance. In your name we pray. Amen.
The scripture this morning is from the fifth chapter of Luke, verses 18 through 26. I invite you to join with the reading. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are healed and forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Go, get up, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Here we go. Everybody good? Okay, so good. Really, cool. I'm really enjoying some of the music that we're having to go through, that we're going through over the last couple weeks. I know Becky is. Becky's our country girl we pull out for country stuff. She's got the country twang, and she said that's Keith's fault, so we don't know. But just kind of good to just see how God speaks to us today. We are in our new series called One Month to Live, 30 Days to a No-Regret Life. And it's based off of this book right here called One Month to Live, 30 Days to a No-Regret Life, right here, written by Carrie and Chris Shook. And Carrie Shook's a really neat guy that I met many, many years ago. So last week we started spending some time with some things, and we decided that I listed several of them, kind of like an overview last week. We talked about some things. And this week we're going to go ahead, if you missed that and you want to just kind of get caught up, go ahead and you can check that out on havencc.org. But today, we're going to talk about how to live passionately. Now, some people said that would have been better if I did that last week with Valentine's Day. But we're going to go ahead and share today. And I want to tell you, I want to start off by telling you this. Nothing ever happens. Nothing in the world ever, ever happens without passion. Nothing happens. It's a driving force behind all great art, all great music, all great literature, all great drama. It's even behind all great ministry as well. Passion is what makes things great. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, actually was so passionate about speaking that he said things like this. One day, somebody was falling asleep. He looked around and people were falling asleep in church. And he was speaking, and all of a sudden he said, and it's like the 1700s, and he said, "Fire, fire," and he yelled it real loud, and everybody woke up, and he said, "In hell if you fall asleep in my sermons." And one time, he said something that made some people so mad, he went ahead and he got on his father's grave and stood there, because that was the only piece of property they couldn't touch him on because it was owned by the family. And he stood there and he continued preaching things that they didn't like. He was one time chased because he made certain things in Georgia. He made certain things, and he was being chased by a church. Can you imagine saying something so bad in church that they chase you down and they want to string you up? And he was running, and he jumped on the boat as they were trying to get hold of him. That's passion or stupidity or a little bit of both that we find out there. Passion is what makes things great. It propels athletes to break records. I know there's a movie out now that I want to see. I know my son and others saw it this week, the one about Jesse Owens. And for Jesse Owens to do what he did right in the midst of racism here and then incredible racism in Nazi Germany in front of Adolf Hitler, that's passion that brings that to the forefront. Passion puts scientists to discover for new cures. Passion is what gives us life, the kind of life that you were made for. So in your bulletins today, if you look there, you can see this translation from Mark chapter 12. The message, it says, "So love the Lord your God, love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy." Love the Lord God with all your passion, your prayer, your intelligence, and your energy. Circle that word passion if you have something. Just circle it right there. God wants you to love Him with passion. He created you to be a passionate person. You're made with the capacity to be passionate because you're made in the image of God, and God is a passionate God. God is passionate about you. He's so passionate about you, He sent His Son to suffer and die for you. He feels things so deeply. Every hurt you have, He feels. Every pain you have, He feels, and He takes that upon Himself and His Son on the cross. Regardless of your personality, you may say, "Jack, I'm an introvert. This is when I'm really happy." Even if you are an introvert, I got to tell you, God created you with a passion. It doesn't matter. He really created with you to feel things deeply. Now, how many of you are passionate about certain things? Anybody passionate about? What are some things that you're passionate about in life? Kids. What else? Grandchildren. What else? Family. Okay, what about any works, any kind of actions, jobs, anything? Yeah, Laura. Photography. All right, and we are so glad that you are, Laura, that's for sure, right? Homeschooling. What else?
Animals.
There we go, animals. Anybody got anything else?
Traveling.
What?
Traveling.
Okay, I'll go with you. Okay, there we go. Anything else? Oh, you Mountaineers, you go. There we go, right? Mountaineers, we got some there and there. There we go, one right here. There's so many things that we are really passionate about that if I said, "Hey, we're going to do this," we can go. I'm passionate about sports, and over the last couple years, I started as a way to get healthy, but then I became more passionate about working out. Now, there's days I don't want to do it. But I want to show you how passionate I am about this, and I want to thank my workout partners for doing this to me. I want to show you how passionate I am about ab work right here. I'm going to show you right here. All right, here we go. Ready? Here I am. Look at this. That's passion.
I'm fired.
Come on, I'm not done yet. Watch this. Here we go. That's passion. That's passion, right? Is that passion or stupidity? It's a fine line, correct? See, this is what my workout partners do while I'm working out. You know, all right. So that's passion. And guess what? I go back days, and when they say ab work, I go, "All right." And now there's a more stable one there, so I don't fall off now. It's good, but. You got to be passionate about this stuff. You got to have a desire for it. One of the reasons why we lose passion in life, I believe, is because we forget who we are and we forget whose we are. We forget that we were made in God's image, and God made us to be extremely passionate. One of the things that I've always hated about organized church is we believe, like, we can be outside and be like, "Woo, everything, yeah, high five, man, yeah, it's all good." And we come into church and we're going to be like, We check our emotions at the door. If somebody does something awesome and we think it glorifies God, we do. You ever done this? Like, is this a church that claps or not? We look. And if you're like in a church that doesn't, where they just go, and then you go, everybody goes, looks at you. How dare you show passion? You see what I mean? And God made us to be passionate. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I want you to circle keep. You know why? Because that tells us passion is something that you can lose. Passion is definitely something that you can lose. It's also something that you have to work at keeping. You have to work at keeping your passion. You can lose your passion for others and lose your passion for God. You can lose your complete passion for life. How many of you have ever had a point where you have to do something in life you don't want to do? Guess what? It's better than being on the other side of the dirt. You know what I mean? We have a choice. We have ability. God has given us this life for this time to do something incredible with our lives. If all we were made to do was to eat, sleep, have some kids and then pass on in life, that's miserable. God made us for something more than that, something passionate. Life just tends to beat the passion out of you, though. Problems and pressures. You could be having the greatest day in the world, and all of a sudden, something will come and steal your passion, steal your joy, steal your excitement. It'll drain the passion from your lives. But God wants us to be passionate people. Dr. Howard Thurman, a great African-American speaker and philosopher, said, it's the greatest quote, I put it on the front of your bulletin so you would have this. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. The world needs people that come alive. And I'm going to tell you, this quote challenges me to live with passion, but it's not easy. Because guess what? I can have all the passion, I can have all the way to go, but life's still going to beat me up a little bit here and there. There's things that are going to come out of left field that I'm not going to know about. I'm going to get a diagnosis that I don't know about. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be heading somewhere and something's going to happen to somebody and my loved ones. I'm going to be working and loving my job and I'm going to lose it. And then I've got to stop and say, how do I remain passionate when those things happen? I have a relationship that I think is going to go on forever and it ends in a tragic means. There are so many things that crowd my life and try to steal my passion in life. Like, for instance, I'll give you one of mine that tends to be something that feeds me in some areas, but also drains me in other areas. How many of you have an overcrowded schedule? How many sometimes have to call somebody else because you don't have a clue where you're going next? All right? If you have to set your alarm to eat, you have an overcrowded schedule. Right now, so many of us have no time in life. And many of us are just too tired right now to even raise our hands that we have an overcrowded schedule. Sometimes we feel like we're juggling cement blocks, and it's just really heavy. That's why I wanted to do this series at this time, because I think we all need to embrace the 1 month to live lifestyle. To really, if we had 1 month to live, we would rediscover our passions. In this campaign, I'm asking you to create. I'm asking you to create some margin in your life to really begin to look and to help find your passion. Dr. Richard Swenson wrote a book called Margin. Anybody ever read it? Margin. It's a great book. A great book. And he says this, and when we're talking about margin, it's like in here. In the early days, you see this? This is a margin that goes around here and space in here. In the early days of print material, they didn't leave that because it cost so much to print. And paper was very expensive, so they used every single ounce of the page. And you know what they've learned? They've learned that the more margin you have in a book, the more people will read. You will get more when you have more space in between there. And so you see things. If you get, like, how many of you remember when you got a school textbook and it was all words? How many went, ugh? How many when you got some pictures, you're like, oh. You got some pictures, you got some graphs, you got some charts, those things. And what he says in his book is margin is the difference between your load and your limit. The less margin you have in life, the less margin you have in your life, the more stress you'll experience in your life. A life without margin is like without space in your life. Sentences without margins that don't have any gaps between the words are chaotic to read and make and incomprehensible. A life with no margin in it is chaotic and incomprehensible at so many times. As how many of you have ever just, and you don't have to raise your hand for this, but you've just been going through life and you have no margin and everything seems to be crowding in around you, and before you know it, you don't even understand your own life. You don't even know what's going on there in the first place. Most of us live our lives without any or little margin in it at all. Some of us have no margin physically, that we don't even have time to sleep. We don't get enough rest. We don't eat right. We don't exercise. We have no margin in our health area. Some of us have no margin time-wise, as we mentioned. Our calendars are crowded. Our downtime is filled with trying to catch up with stuff that we couldn't get done throughout the rest of the week. We have no margin financially. So many people have no margin in your finances. We live from paycheck to paycheck. And we absolutely live our lives. And then we wonder, why do we live our lives feeling so stressed in life? Because we have no margin as we're looking there. We all get so busy in the details that we miss the important things in life because life feels crowded to us. It feels crowded. I want to show you this brief clip from a movie called Father of the Bride with Steve Martin. Anybody ever seen that? And this is a scene at the end where his daughter is getting ready to throw the bouquet, and he wants to try to get to her. And I want to show you this real quick to set up the rest of our message.
Now all I needed to make me happy was a dance with the bride.
Ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, this is Annie Banks McKenzie. She'll be tossing her bouquet in the foyer, and then she's off to Hawaii.
This I was not going to miss. The mob was headed through the living room, so I decided to take a shortcut.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Great wedding, George.
Oh, I love you. Thanks.
Excuse me.
Seen him.
Should I throw it?
He missed it.
You ever feel like that in life, that everything is crowded in around you so much you can't get time to do the things and you miss out on the things that really matter at this moment? That's what happened in this movie, and it's also what happened here, and it tells us a different approach to what happened in Luke 5 that Stephen read for us today. It's a story that I believe must have been something like this. These guys planned on getting to their paralytic friend to Jesus. And they were carrying him through the town, and they say, we'll take him to Peter's house. We'll take him to that house over there where Jesus is. And they get there, and it's packed, and they can't get near the door. They can't get anywhere. And in the midst of the packed house everywhere, the one who needed Jesus the most couldn't get close to him. And so as Stephen read to us, we find out, and I love this passage, here are these men, they're carrying their friend. They're carrying him, and he's on a mat, and they take him to the house. And when they could not find a way to get there because of the crowd, so they went up to the roof, and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. It's an incredible story, and it's a great way of how we need to learn to live in the one-month-to-live way. This passage is incredible. And it ends with this section, we have seen the remarkable things today. Wouldn't it be awesome if today we could all leave here or by the end of the day say, we have seen remarkable things today. God has let me see remarkable things in my life. And I'm hoping that we do, and we get to see those things through two things, intentionality and passion, as we focus on God. Here we go. In verse 19, these guys were trying to get their friends to Jesus, yet they couldn't find a way to get him there because of the crowd. And that's the worst thing. That's one thing we learn. A crowded life, a crowd and a crowded life will keep us from Jesus. It'll keep us from getting to him. I got to tell you, I can always tell when my life is too crowded because things start to happen in my own life. My soul begins to dry up a little bit. I just feel a little bit more distant from God. My emotions start to get numb a bit. I feel like I'm going through the motions of my own walk with Christ. I feel like there's no passion, and I quit living passionately in the midst of this. And it's probably the greatest sin that we all experience, a life without passion. A life that's no longer living, but just existing. Why is it a sin? Because it keeps us from being close to God, and the definition of sin is separation from God. It keeps us from having that rich, abiding, abundant love that God has for our lives. So we have to stop, and we have to do certain things that we learn from these guys. So what I want to do is I want to give you the roof-ripping challenge, which is also the one-month-to-live challenge here today. These guys did it. What did they do? Number one, on your sheet, do something drastic. Look at somebody next to you and say, do something drastic. Do something drastic. In verse 19, it says, when they could not find a way to do this, to get into Jesus because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. The crowd was keeping them for Jesus, so they did something incredibly drastic. What do? They tore a hole in somebody else's roof. Stop. Think about that. And how the roofs were made, often they would have, it would be like mud and dried and straw and thatch and all this kind of stuff, tiles in there mixed in. So it was really hard. And you know what? Unless they had GPS or JPS, Jesus Positioning System, how would they know exactly where it was? They probably went, poke, a little bit further that way, poke, a little bit more to the left, poke. Meanwhile, we know about Simon Peter, and the tradition is it's his house. Can you imagine what he was saying down there? They're poking holes in my roof, God. Jesus, do something. They finally find the spot, and they lowered a grown man on a stretcher. That's a big hole. That's drastic. That is drastic in life. They tore a hole in somebody else's roof. And whenever you get crowded, you can't just do a couple of little things and expect your life to change. You can't give a little tension. I'll do this a little bit. I'll do that a little bit. I'll do that a little bit. No, you have to change in a major way. You have to do something really, really drastic in your life. And we have to ask ourselves, I believe the most drastic thing that we need to ask ourselves is this question that I've been asking you. If you knew you had 1 month to live, how would you live your life? What would you do and what would you not do? What I found out is when people have a short amount of time, they suddenly realize what matters most in life. It's not stuff. It's not awards. It's not positions of authority. It's relationship. They're set free and they begin to say things that they would have never have said. They begin to do things that maybe they had on their bucket list and they never had time for because they had a crowded schedule. Now they make time for that. They ask forgiveness from others and they give forgiveness freely to anyone who asks. Their lives are revolutionized and they're drastic. Their vision is clarified and they see the big picture that they don't need to worry about the small things. You know how sad it is when I find families that don't talk and it's been so long that they have no clue what the argument was about in the first place. And they spend all this time God has given them on broken relationship. That doesn't matter toward the end. If this was what happens to everybody when they in their last days, then why aren't we living that when we have when we aren't sure whether we have many, many more years or days? In the beginning of my really embracing and living this 1 month to live, there's been some drastic things that I've started to do. And I'll give you one example here when it comes to church. I've started thinking about the difference that what I do as the pastor and what we do in church can make a difference, not just on Sunday morning or not just for that year, but for eternity. And you may say, that's weird, Jack. I thought that you're supposed to. I do, but I, with life and the demands of life and church, you sometimes get distracted by, this is about eternity, and that's the passion that drives us, and I get my focus off on, let's make sure we got the T's crossed, let's make sure we got all the songs, let's make sure we got everything. Do we have all the bulletins that people have? Because Jesus carried bulletins around with him and a praise team. Did you know that? No, but we those things are nice. But guess what? If the lights go completely out, and if the screens drop, and you can't hear me with this, I believe God's going to give me enough voice and a message enough that you're going to be able to connect to him for eternity. And that's something that's really important. The other things that help guide you there, but this is something that helps last for eternity. The priority is leaving a legacy. Now, hear me. I don't have this all together. I struggle with an overcrowded life, balancing it all. But this is really this question, when I embrace it, has really cut to the heart of what I believe God wants us to hear in this series. And when you start asking that question, you learn two quick things. You realize what's important. You realize what's important. And when your time is limited, you say, this is the most important thing in my life. They tore a hole through somebody else's roof to get their friend to Jesus. I'm sure they weren't at the time thinking, you know what? We're going to have to pay for this roof. Should we really be digging in this roof? I don't know. You know what I think they said? It's just a roof. Ain't my house. We'll come back later. We'll help. But we got to get him to Jesus. His only hope is getting him to Jesus. They would have had to dig in the roof or claw into the roof. We all focus on the things that don't matter. We focus on the roof rather than our friend who's dying, our friend who's laying there paralyzed in life. We may not have people who are physically paralyzed, but I guarantee you have a list of names of people because of one thing or the other are paralyzed in their existence, in their lives. They're stuck. What are you going to do to just go ahead and rip the roof off to help them get there, to focus on the things that really matter? You see, they realized you can replace a roof, but you can't replace a person. And Jesus doesn't care about the roof. He cares about the person. Now, the second thing that they learned is you need to remove the obstacles. They remove the roof in a drastic way. You know, I'll tell you, here's the thing. It's easy to remove the bad stuff. We all know the bad stuff we do, right? We all know the stuff that, God, you've got to remove this. But what I'm finding out is I've given priority to some good things in life, some things that are fun, some things that are good. But guess what? They're in the way. And they're the harder things to sort out because I like those. And when I like those, I need to recognize they aren't giving the passion for Christ that I need to have. So there's those things. And it's hard to do, so how do I decide? I'm going to give you a little quick hint right here to tell you how to decide and focus on the things that are most important. The really important things in your life, the things that you would focus on if you knew your time was limited, are the things that don't come with bells and whistles. For instance, they aren't the things that have deadlines. The other things that have deadlines. They aren't the things that you'll be rewarded for if you do. In fact, almost you won't certainly get rewarded. You won't receive praise if you do them. What are they? They are things like taking time to tuck your kids in to bed at night, which I'm guilty of not doing many times because I'm just tired and they drive me crazy. I just want them to stay in bed. Anybody with me? Taking the time to really listen to your children or others when they talk to you. Spending time having coffee or taking a walk with your spouse. Not trying to figure out your calendars, but just doing. Just try to connect. Tell each other and those people close to you how much they mean to you. These are things that don't have a deadline. And I know our iCalendar and our Outlook calendars are packed with things that have to be done today or preferably by next week. And what begins to happen when we schedule all those things? How many on your schedules do you have, spend time with my son because he's going to graduate and I'm going to miss out on some time? How many have take time today and go do this with my wife or my husband because I don't know whether I'm going to have them tomorrow or the next day, and that's who God has given to me? I say we're all guilty of this, aren't we? We're all guilty of this. We've been conditioned by the world. And what happens is the important things that are completely missed out, they tend to be silent. So do you really realize what's important when you do something drastic? You can't just do one or two things. You've got to do something drastic. And you're like, why did I come to church today? Now I got to do something drastic in my life. Number two. The first thing is do something drastic. Number two is expect the unexpected. How many like surprises? How many would like a surprise party? Teresa, raise your hand. Okay. How many have had a surprise party? How many know people who get mad at surprise parties? What is wrong with you people? Okay. I mean, that's good stuff. Surprise. My wife is impossible to surprise, and we did for her 40th birthday. It was the greatest thing because we waited to a month after her 40th birthday. She was mad at me because I didn't do anything for her on her 40th birthday except something little. And Judy and I repented for lying afterwards. But we had her come in. She was surprised, and her first words were, "Shut up!" All right? You prioritize your life based on what's important. We do need to plan. But then when things don't go as we plan, let life interrupt it. Like, I know I would drive some of you crazy, because when we go on vacation, we're like, "What do you want to do today?" "Oh, no, let's figure it out. Let's just go." We were crazy. One time, we just put our kids in the van on the 30th of December and ran down to Disney, not having a clue where we were going to stay. We drove up there, and anybody seen the movie Vacation, the first one with Chevy Chase, where they pull into Wally World and it's closed? When we pulled up, it was this big, long line. It's New Year's Eve. Magic Kingdom, closed. Animal Kingdom, closed, 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 closed. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I picked up the phone. I'm calling. I'm like, I'm seeing all these things closed. And this guy goes, "That's to people who aren't staying in Disney properties." I'm like, "What you got?" He goes, "I got these two small rooms in All-Star Sports." I said, "I'll take them." And so we went into the park at 12 o'clock noon. And then after that awesome 360 Tinkerbell kind of firework thing that went on there with about a billion people where you couldn't move, and that was the days of a stroller. You know what a stroller is? It's like a machete. You can move people out of the way, and you just like you hit them enough, they'll move, okay? And your kid is like a weapon. It's a good thing. And get the one that spins real, it's awesome. But once all the fireworks went, a mass exodus left the park. But guess what? They were open till 2 o'clock, and I'm like, "Kids, you ain't tired. Let's go. Let's hit them all." And I did. I hit them all because in my mind, I was going to turn around and drive back because I didn't have a plan. But guess what? We stopped at this place in Kissimmee, and Melissa went in there. The lady liked her, gave her a place for $35 a night, threw in a cot in there. Guess what, kids? Sleep on the floor. I don't care, for $35 a night. That's where we're staying. We made a week out of it. It was awesome. We had no clue. Now, for you people who sit down and plan every second of your vacation, you're sick. There's something wrong with you. I'm telling you. You spend your whole life planning everything. Why would you want to do that on vacation? You know? But I know you're thinking the same thing about me. But if all your plans in life, how many of you plan to be something different in life than what you are? I planned on being a baseball player. I was going to make millions. I think I could probably make the Phillies roster this year. I'm just saying. But I couldn't hit a curveball, and guess what? I couldn't hit a fastball when it got really fast. Guess what? That does not make me a good baseball player. And so I learned very early that my plans had to shift. And so we got to roll with the punches when it comes to God. Our greatest problem is of surviving a busy schedule is trying to control every little thing in it. So realize when the things don't go the way you want them to, recognize God is in control. That no matter what your schedule does, God's still in control. No matter what somebody does in your life, God is still in control. And it's a freeing experience when we realize God is in control. You see, they knew where Jesus would be. They had no clue everybody else was going to be there. They could have easily gone, sorry, bud, we tried. Maybe he's going to come back. Maybe we'll go to the next town. I mean, I don't know. Sorry, look at all these people. Their plan was to go, walk in the house, put him down, and watch him get up. But then they had to go to plan B. And you know what plan B did? Plan B didn't put him close to Jesus. It put him at the feet of Jesus. And so when we go to plan B, we recognize that it's going to work out when God's in control. Whenever your plan changed, it's passion that helps you roll with the punches. You give it to God and say, God, you come up with a new plan and I'll do it. And get creative with it. Rip off a roof here and there and have fun with it. In Luke 5:20, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, what did he say? Friends, your sins are forgiven. I don't know about you, but if I'm after dragging my friend through the street, then pulling him up on the roof, then digging out and pulling off the roof and the shingles and the tiles, and I get him down to the feet of Jesus, the last thing I want to hear Jesus is say, your sins are forgiven. I'm saying, even if I was a paralytic, I'd be like, yoo-hoo, I didn't come for that. I came here to get up and walk. You got it, Jesus? What's wrong with you? But Jesus did the unexpected. Be ready for Jesus to do the unexpected. Because see, what Jesus recognized was this, that before he could heal him, before he had a physical healing, he needed a spiritual healing. He needed something eternal than rather something temporal. So Jesus healed him spiritually first, messed with all the religious leaders, but then he changed it and he said, now that we've done that, let's go ahead and get you up. Through the 1 month to live lifestyle, we learn, and this is the ideal thing, we learn to make our plans and decide what's important, but then we also recognize through passion we prioritize. When life is interrupted, let God have control. Say, God, you know what's best. I'm going to trust you and control everything. That's our ideal. But our real thing that happens is when we make plans and we lay it all out and we program it, we have it together, we get really frustrated when it messes up. We get really stressed, and then we begin to lose our passion through frustration. I'm noticing more and more in my life that when I'm stressed or worried, that really it's kind of like a yellow light, a blinking light that goes off telling me that I'm trying to control something that's uncontrollable, that I'm trying to control something that God never meant for me to control, but just to trust him in. I have to allow God to interrupt my life. And I'll tell you, when God interrupts your life, sometimes it won't look like God. It'll look like a problem. But God takes problems and makes them opportunities. They changed their plan, and Jesus did something so special. All right, number three. Ready for number three? Number three is create God space. Create God space. In 5:19, it says, into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Right when they dropped him down. Circle that, middle of the crowd. When they put him down, they put him right in the middle of everybody, right at Jesus. They created space that wasn't there so that their friend could meet Jesus. In the same way, in the middle of our crowded, overscheduled lives, you need to create space that isn't there. I know what you're saying now. I don't have time to do the 1 month to live study. I don't have time to get to my Bible every day. I don't have time to give my gifts and talents. You know why? Because your time is there and you're not creating God's space. You need to create it. There wasn't a big space that was marked out like a chalk drawing on the ground that said, place paralytic here. Jesus did not have that. They created that space when he was coming down. You know, I talked about if-then last week. I'm talking about when-then thinking this week. We live in when-then as well. When things settle down, then I'll get to do this. When I'm not so busy, then I'll take care of. And when we realize this is our life, this is it. This is all we get. When things slow down, then we'll get to important things. We don't know when things are going to stop. And I guarantee you, if we live the lives that everybody lives anymore, it's not going to slow down. You got to create God time. Look at this lesson from Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And this doesn't sound like a Jesus answer, doesn't it? Everyone's looking for you. You know what he should have done? He should have said, "Well, let's go see him," right? Isn't that what you should do? Because people need me. If people need me, I got to be there for them every second of the day. Jesus said, "Hey, Jesus, they're all looking for you." What does he say? "Let's go someplace else." Does that seem like Jesus who gave his life for us? But he teaches us a lesson that he needed time, and he went someplace else. It was nothing for Jesus to go ahead when he was weary and go off by himself to get alone with God. And guess what? What I learned from this verse is I'm not and you're not better than Jesus. There are sometimes you just need to say, "Hold on," and go someplace else just to get reconnected to God, and then come back. Come back to it. Because guess what? If you're weary, you're worn out, you're miserable, you lost passion, you ain't good to anybody. And that's what Jesus tells us here. "Jesus, you're disappointing people." He says, "No, I recognize this. The most important person I need to meet with is my Heavenly Father. Because if I meet with my Heavenly Father, that's the secret to maintaining my passion in a crowded world and a crowded life. It's extremely important." You know, when I get to the place where I have 100 things to do, so much so that I can't remember what's next, and I'm so confused, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, I'm really beginning all the more to embrace that I really need to just say, "I'll get back to you. I got to go get with God for a little bit. Because I'm not good to you." You know, it seems, and we get frustrated and say, "Well, that's going to take time." But I want to share with you a verse that when you spend time with God, it's like your day extends. And it's scriptural. Proverbs 10:27. How many of you would like a couple more hours or a couple more time in the day? Okay? If you want that, I'm going to tell you, this is the verse for you. "Reverence for God adds hours to each day." If you want more time, spend time with God. That's what it says right there. Sometimes we feel so busy to stop, but when we carve it out and we stop, we always get more time. Yesterday, it was crazy. I was doing some finalization things. They sent me one of the wrong toners for the copier, so I was praying and hoping I could get things printed up. I had a wedding in Lancaster of friends. We were staying there. We had kids that were going to dances and birthday parties and dance and all kinds of other things. And we had Jacob, we had to rely on him. He was great about getting people here and there. Then, in the middle of the night, he had an issue on the way home with his car. It stopped, and he was down near my friend's house. So we're like, I'm realizing I have all this stuff to finish up. It's about 12:30 so at night, and they were going to be home, but they broke down while I was talking to them on the phone. And there's always like drama around everything. If anybody has kids, there's always drama. Even when they're sleeping, it's dramatic. But you have this situation. My friend's near there. He's calling. First, they're checking this. Long story short, they got gas in it. Didn't do anything. They got more gas in it. And then they realized the battery was dead as well because you couldn't get the key out. Anybody know those kind of cars? It's electric ignition. Okay, so I'm learning all this kind of stuff. I'm Googling while I'm talking, you know, figuring out what's going on. Long story short, I met in Elkton, following the rest of the way home. He's home. Everything's good. But guess what? That took several hours out of time that I did not have. I didn't have it. I didn't want it. Well, actually, I did want it. I wanted a lot more. And believe me, by the time I crawled in bed really, really, really early or late, depending upon your perspective, the last thing I really felt like doing was bringing it all and coming here and saying, "Okay, God, yay, here we go, I'm tired." But you know what? When I did this morning, when I got up, I re-looked at the words that I'm sharing with you today. And I realized, once again, it's not about making it for you today. It's not about me getting out what I need today. This is eternal stuff. This is important stuff. This is the most important thing in your life, to connect with your Heavenly Father and to have a relationship with Christ that goes on. That's why we open up these altars every week, so that you will accept Jesus and have a relationship with Him. That's the main goal. And it's not just to check your time card off and say, "Woo, I accepted Jesus, I'm in heaven," but to grow closer to Him and live with Him and live the 1 month to live lifestyle every single day of life. Not wait till we have 1 month. That's what we need to do. I was thrilled that my kids were okay. You know how you get grumpy at first and say, "Oh, this is going to cause me," and then you go, "Hey, they're okay. They're all home. It's good. So you don't know what to do next, and you get confused. Just get alone with God. Get that God space. Last one. You ready? Last one. Keep a constant reminder. You need something in your life as a constant reminder. It's the proverbial string on a finger that you put on there. It may just be that you put in every day into your calendar so it goes ding on your phone. Make some God time. Ding. Stop right now. And make yourself do it. You need a reminder. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 5:24. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." You notice Jesus didn't say, he healed him. You notice he didn't say, take that mat and throw it away. Jesus wanted him to take that mat, set it up, and look at it and say, here's a reminder. This is a constant reminder of who I am. This is a constant reminder of what I've done for you. So when it gets more difficult, that you can look back at that and say, wow, look what Jesus did for me. Jesus told him to get up and take it home. And look at what it says in 25. Immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Immediately. That means start today. We want to start today uncrowding our lives. We want to start today connecting to the Lord in a way that we never have or never could. If I found out that I had 1 month to live, I'd want to live it with no regrets. I'd want to be good with everybody that I knew. I want to that is willing to hear and to form that. And I'd want to leave something that lasts and the most important thing with my kids. We want to say what we need to say. We want to do what we need to do. And we want to share Christ in a way that we may never have. Now, what I'm going to do for time today, we have a video we're not going to show, but I'm going to put it on. We'll get it on either our web or also our Facebook page, that if you want to go ahead and watch a video. It's a video of a woman who was sitting in a church when she started hearing them talk about 1 month to live. And she thought, okay. That Monday she left church, and she was at a place, a deli, getting a salad and sitting there, and she heard this noise, and men came in robbing the place. And she tells the ordeal of what happened and how she was planning on escaping. And ultimately, if she had gone out the door that was locked, she would have been shot by somebody who was waiting for her. And talks about how God made a way, and she realized that we're not sure of what 1 month to live is, whether we have a day or not. So we need to live it like we are today. So as I close today, you can live passionately. That's the kind of lifestyle that we can have, a life full of passion and joy for Christ, not crowded, rushed, and hurried. And the last verse on your notes is right there. It comes from Psalm 46:10, and it says this. Be still. Everybody say with me, be still. And know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. Maybe today you've forgotten who you are and whose you are. Life has become so crowded and so rushed that you can't even remember what's important or what you're even living for. The way to start remembering is just to start today, as the praise team comes up right now and they're going to sing this last song. Just be still. Just be still and remember who God is. Remember that in your lives. And remember whose you are in this world. Amen. I want you to stand, and if our Stephen ministers are here, you guys can come up. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up today. I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to be available for prayer as well. Because I want you to search your heart today. I want you to search your heart and say, what is God saying to you? What is he speaking to you in this right now? Today, if anybody's read it, is today the dreamsicle one? What is your dreams that are on the pavement, like those dreamsicle popsicles? Remember those good things? Remember, like, it was too hot and it fall off the stick on the ground and the ants, and you get all mad and frustrated and you think that's the end of your dreamsicle? God can bring you a good one and make it solid in your life. So as we go to this time and we get still before the Lord, let's pray. God, I can feel your presence just speaking to each of us here today. Help us just to recapture a passion for you, which sets all things in a passionate way. That God, when we have a passion and a love and connection for you, that begins to flow into the areas of our lives. It begins to flow into the area of of a passion for life itself. That God, I just pray that through this week that we will embrace you and have a passion like we never had before. That we may have thought even before that we couldn't take time to connect to a 1 month to live challenge group. But today, just God, as you're speaking to our hearts, we're saying, yeah, I want to be part of this. I want to book. I want to connect with some other people. I want to hear what you have to say to me. I want to live like I was dying. And put the things that are important there and still deal with the other stuff, God. But when my plans don't work out, to trust you're in control. And so, Lord, right now, minister to our hearts. Let us know that the altar's open and this is eternal stuff, not just temporal things. So, God, I ask that you call them. You call each individual, that people are struggling in their lives, they're struggling in their marriages, that things that started in passion, jobs, relationships, even parenthood, all these other kinds of things that have started in passionate ways that have now been just ripped away and they're just shreds. And God, just bring passion back to them. Give us a right heart to serve you by creating those areas. Being like, and there may be people in our lives that don't have passion. Let us be the friends ripping off the roof to get them into a God space where you can minister to them. So God, right now I'm ripping off the roofs. The roofs are ripping up all over this church right now. And right up here today is God's space. And I'm just going to ask you to call your people. Just call them forward. Whatever it may be, that they'll just open their hearts and minds. For sins forgiven, for spiritual restoration, and physical restoration. And God, that they will have a reminder from this day that you are a great and mighty God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Stand out, fall on you. Jesus.
Awesome things around this room right now. Even for people who came up and people didn't, now you can just feel the presence of Jesus in this place. We're making a God space right here, and don't leave it when we go here. Take that God space with you. It's awesome. We serve an awesome God, don't we? And we all need him. How incredible of a God that we serve. The 1 month to live lifestyle is not about dying. It's about living. Living in the fullness of who Christ called us to be. And so if you need to stay after and connect, remember we're going to do our membership. There's also the meeting for the people for the rotating shelter. And so I think this is a moment that we can capture a passion for people who may have no passion in their lives. And it's a great way that we can share that throughout life. Now next week we're going to learn about something else. We're going to put up there, Melinda. Love completely. We're going to learn how to love completely. Okay? So you can start that this week by loving somewhat. And then we're going to learn more about love completely. And if you need to talk or pray, by all means do that. High five somebody and tell them do something drastic. In Christ's name, amen. Good stuff. Good job.